Hello and welcome to the Analytive Podcast. Today, I have Emily Draghi. Emily runs Draghi Media, a video production and promotion house designed to serve small local businesses. On top of that, and how I connected with her initially, she runs the Life in NoCo Instagram handle, where she's built a loyal and engaged following focused on a specific geographic area, in this case, Northern Colorado. In this podcast, we talk about what is working right now for local businesses on social media, as well as how local influencers are slowly replacing traditional media outlets. This is an awesome podcast if you or your local business use social media, or you're looking for really creative ways to promote your product or service locally. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Emily Draghi. This is Tyler, and you are listening to the Analytive Podcast. Emily, thank you so much for being willing to come on the Analytive Podcast. Super excited for today's conversation.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you wear a lot of hats, media company owner, local influencer. Talk a little bit about how you got to where you are, just a little bit of background on you and what you're up to.
Yeah, so it started about 2.5 years ago when a local realtor and one of my friends hired me to basically do social media marketing for him as a realtor. And most of the things that I see from realtors are an Instagram with only pictures of houses. And to me, it's a little bit like, I don't know, annoying maybe is the word. Like, I want to see other things besides just a house. So I was like, okay, how can we like gain him influence in Fort Collins without being just the average realtor who posts about houses? And so I was like, well, what if we started highlighting local businesses in Northern Colorado, and he would be like the realtor who also can tell you where to grab a beer or where to have breakfast? So I basically taught myself videography, and what we would do is go into a business, ask them if we could do a video for them for free in exchange for them posting the video and doing a big giveaway with us. So we would both do a giveaway, both post the video, and then we would get like 10,000 to 20,000 views in Northern Colorado. And that's kind of where my love started for interacting with small businesses and really seeing that nobody was really doing that in Northern Colorado. Just an authentic person who loves where they live, sharing what they love about where they live. So we started doing that. It was just gaining like a lot of like traction. And then I was like, I should start an Instagram highlighting Northern Colorado because people love what I'm doing and they want to see more of it. So I started the Instagram about 2 years ago, really just like on a mission to share things that I loved about Northern Colorado. And I was doing videos for businesses, and small businesses like loved the videos that I did. It was like really fun, upbeat, super quick, highlighted their shop and really like grabbed people's attention. And so that kind of was how I started Life in NoCo, and it has really grown since then.
Awesome. So when you think about influencers, because influencer marketing is kind of all the rage right now, right? A lot of people talking about it. A lot of people are topical influencers. You know, they talk about parenting or hiking or something along those lines. You've taken a bit of a different approach, and it's arts and culture, but it's also geographically very like a very specific area, not nationally or internationally. What was kind of the thought behind that? Did it just sort of accidentally happen? Do you think maybe that's a really cool niche market? Like, what are your thoughts on doing that versus picking a topic?
Yeah, I just saw a need for it. Like, I think people, especially small businesses, I mean, Northern Colorado really loves small businesses. Like, we really love to support locally owned, and like, we have so many locally owned businesses around here. And it's just, Northern Colorado is such a, like, a cool vibe with local businesses. And having like my own business, just knowing like how much it means to me when someone promotes me, and like authentically promotes me and then gets me attention and people come to my business. I just knew like how it made me feel. And I wanted to do that with other small businesses and, like help them to gain attention and influence. And especially in this COVID season where small businesses are really struggling, just being able to help them. Because like when our local economy is doing well and people are really involved in the community, like it makes an awesome place to live, especially when local businesses feel like they're supported. So it kind of just happened. I didn't like really mean for it to happen. I really don't see another page like mine in Northern Colorado. And so I think people are drawn to it and drawn to the fact that I'm a real person. I'm like authentic about it. And they're just seeing like, okay, this girl isn't part of like the Coloradoan or this huge news source. It's like a girl who loves living here and she's local. And so people, I think, are really drawn to like that authenticity.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a place, Northern Colorado, because I live here as well. And so it's a place that is very, very much focused on local business, right? Mm-hmm. And not chains and franchises, but like the one-off, the mom and pop shops, little restaurants, bars, breweries, little businesses like that. Plus, what I find is that as you probably build an audience, my hunch is that the people who are interested in local business are interested in all kinds of local business, right? If they like local restaurants, there's a good chance they want to buy soap, right, from a local yeah. vendor, or support, you know, the farmer's market or whatever the particular need they have. They always tend to look local first. Or at least that's what I find. Do you see that or not?
See people wanting to support local businesses?
Yeah, that people who tend to support one type of local business, say like a brewery, also often want to support other types of local businesses in different markets, so to speak.
Yeah, I do see that. And I think like, I don't have a restaurant or something that's like a place where people come to. So I don't really think people see me as like a business owner trying to get people to come to small businesses. I think they just see me as like one of them who right. is, I'm like, I'm supporting small businesses because it's really good for our economy, really good to just support people and love people. And we all feel good in the end when we support local. So I do see that people, like when they support like a local restaurant or something, are also really intrigued to support a skincare company or a little like locally owned skincare place. And I think a lot of it has to do with like me pushing people to support locally owned businesses, because I'm doing it. It kind of like builds excitement around it for someone in the community to be doing it and kind of like inviting other people to join me in it.
Yeah. And you definitely approach it in a way where you are genuinely excited to do it. And I think that comes through, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, this is our sponsor for the video. It's not that at all. It's like, hey, this is a local business that I care about. They have great products. You know, you personally use a lot of their products. And I think that comes through in, you know, the promotion that you do for them.
Yeah.
So during COVID, because we're recording this in November 2020, so we're in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, whatever you want to talk about, how has either the methods that you've used changed, or maybe your influence, have you seen that grow, especially at a time where small businesses are pinched, a lot of them at least? What has changed, you know, in the past few months?
I think that kind of the thought of our local businesses actually could die if we do not support them. And I think because of, I mean, I know so many small businesses now, like their owners, And I'm literally hearing from them, like, our restaurant will close down if we're at this percent capacity because it just doesn't pay the bills. And I mean, just a lot of local businesses are really struggling. And that would be really, really bad for Northern Colorado if we lost like half of our businesses. So I think it's really changed just my, I don't know, kind of like my fight for local businesses and really telling people, like, I'm talking to our local business owners and they are really struggling, and our economy or our place that we love to live in is not going to be what we want it to be unless we're putting our money into these local shops and stores. So kind of like a really like fight for Northern Colorado to be what we love it to be has kind of changed how I'm approaching it.
Yeah. And again, as someone who lives here, I really appreciate that because it is such a weird time. And there are so many businesses. I know several people who own various types of small businesses, one like a small hotel proprietor here in town, you know, who are genuinely struggling, and it's been, you know, their dream to get to where they are. And now, you know, you have no travel lockdowns, you have the whole process, and they're navigating through that. So I think it's awesome that you get to help small businesses in that way and gain exposure. Because a lot of times what I find is people are open to supporting small business, but they don't know who's struggling. They don't know who's around. It's inconvenient because a lot of small businesses don't have the same amount of marketing dollars, right? Mm-hmm. They're not buying ads all the time. If they are, they're the bigger small businesses, right? But they're not the little mom and pop shops that are, you know, like, hey, look at me, look at me. And so the highlights that you can do, I'm sure, are extremely helpful for them.
Yeah, because my page really is, I mean, like, I'm highlighting Northern Colorado, especially local businesses. And like, there's news channels like the Coloradoan that will pick sometimes like highlight different small businesses, but you can't go to their page and be like, oh, this is where I should get my nails done, or this is a good place to eat at. And I mean, yes, you can find that there and visit Fort Collins too. But I've wanted my page to be a place that people can come that like you can figure out where to get your hair done, your nails done, your facial, where you want to work out. Just like a one-stop shop of like, here's all the local businesses, or not all of them. Here's a lot of places that you could go to and support.
And I think you've done it. The big difference between you and someone like the Coloradoan is you've done it in a native way to Instagram, right? The Coloradoan will write an article about, you know, top five restaurants in Colorado. You have to click through, make sure you don't have an ad blocker, or, you know, click all their ads or be a subscriber. Whereas you've made it like they don't even have to leave the platform, right? And they can just click through and say, oh yeah, I'm feeling like I want to try a new restaurant. Oh, here's several that we like.
Totally. Yeah. And it coming from a person rather than an article, I think is why a lot of people love coming to my page. I get messages all the time of like, I feel like you're just my neighbor or my friend telling me where you love to have breakfast. And that makes me want to go have breakfast there because you're my friend, you know? Totally. So it's cool.
Yeah. So then you run also a media company, Draghi Media. Mm-hmm. How do you balance then? Obviously, you're passionate about Northern Colorado, but you also have to make money, produce content. Like, that's your job. So how do you approach that with businesses? Like, how many businesses are you highlighting that you do it, I guess, out of the goodness of your heart versus like actually put together a media package for them? How does the business side of that kind of work?
Yeah. So I like will approach businesses and sometimes be approached by businesses to have videos for them. And I have a media kit that goes through like my different packages. And in most of those packages is like you being able to be highlighted on Life and NoCo. So they really cross pretty well because anyone I'm doing a video for, I'm also talking about on to thousands of people. And so, it's a little bit hard sometimes, like, because I also will charge sometimes for posts and for Instagram stories, but not all. But like I put a lot of time and energy into the page. And I think a lot of people don't understand sometimes that I'm just like, one person running it kind of out of like the goodness of my heart. Like I'm not paid by the Coloradoan. Like I'm not paid by anyone to do it. So, So I will charge for some things and then just charge not for some things. And it doesn't, sure. I don't really have like an exact thing that I do.
Yeah. Well, and it also, I know you've recently been doing like giveaways and stuff, you know, and so there's a lot of unique partnerships that you can do, you know, other than just mentioning in passing, like you actually put together, for lack of a better term, right? A campaign.
Yeah.
So if there's a local business, like in say Northern Colorado, cause that's where you're based, but just anywhere, and you want to approach somebody who has a local audience, what makes that work really well, right? What are the factors that need to be in place creatively to make it a real good business, like symbiotic relationship where you are benefiting, you have great content, hopefully getting paid for some promotion as well, but the business is also getting a great return on the investment that they're making with you.
Yeah. So I just recently did a giveaway with a new company called, she just started a business called NoCo Box, and it's basically a subscription box with 6 different goods from local companies here. And she was just getting up and running and approached me about highlighting it on my page, and I sent her my media package, and she chose to do the giveaway, which is a paid thing. But with my giveaways, I mean, so I'm paid to do it, but I am highlighting it on my Instagram stories. I'm posting about it in the giveaway. You have to follow the local business and me to be entered into it. You have to tag a bunch of friends. You have to post it in your Instagram stories. So for me, like exposure is pretty huge. And mm-hmm. a lot of what I get in return, besides just being paid, and it's not like I'm charging a ton for it, it's a pretty reasonable price.
Sure.
But like exposure for me is huge because I mean, with you, when you have 30 plus people posting in their Instagram stories about your page, people are just seeing my page all the time. And so, I mean, I have a lot of people that will, I mean, like stop me in coffee shops because they've seen my Instagram, local businesses saying like, I've seen you all over Instagram. And a lot of it is because of these partnerships where we post about each other. My following is learning about you. Your following is learning about my page. And the business owner who I just did this with was like, I don't know how I would have like been able to get these subscription boxes out there without you. And so mm-hmm. that was like awesome because I basically helped kickstart her business. And I was like blessed in return of it, just having a bunch of exposure and getting paid some. So that to me is like the absolute best when somebody feels like I've helped like lift their business and given them exposure and help people know who they are now. And then in return, like getting exposure for myself and her just really loving what we did. So it's super
totally.
Cool.
What were the, in your mind, the important factors that made that so successful? Like what was it, you know, the product, was it, you know, what was the, I guess, X factors or X factor in that was like, wow, this was such a success for the business owner. If someone would try to replicate that in the future.
Something that I've learned about my giveaways and different stuff, is like really hyping it up. And so when I'm about to do a giveaway, I'm not just posting on Monday and people are just finding out about it on Monday. On a couple of days before, I talked about everything that was in the NoCo box in or whatever business I'm doing it with. I'm really hyping it up. Like I love it. And that's another thing is I'm not going to tell people something that I hate. Like if someone comes up to me with a product that I really don't like, I'm not going to talk about it. And I don't like have to, cause I'm not owned by anyone.
Sure. Yeah.
So, oh wait, I forgot what I was talking about. What makes it good? Wait.
Yeah. Like I guess the X factor and like what makes it work really well. You were talking about hyping it up and like kind of a pre-launch almost happening.
Yep. So really talking about it for a couple of days. There's a couple of things I do with giveaways that make people want to enter. So one thing that I know about Instagram is engagement is huge. Like if your post isn't commented on, liked in the first like 3 to 5 minutes, Instagram is not going to show your post to a bunch of people. So with my giveaway, I always do extra entries for the first 15 people to enter. And yesterday I posted the giveaway at 7 p.m. and people knew that beforehand. People knew that days in advance that you get an extra entry, and then you get extra entries in different ways too. But at 7 p.m. when I posted it yesterday, 25 plus people commented on it in the first like 10 minutes. And that lets Instagram know this post people really like, and then it shows it to a bunch of people. So that's really, I think, hyping it up and like putting incentives in there for people to really engage with your post. In the post, I talk about how much like I love the business and how awesome it is to support them, and that I hope that our that we'll rally around them to show our support and love. And I just think that like people are like, yeah, I want to do that. Like, I want to support small businesses. So I definitely think hyping it up and like incentives are the biggest thing, not just like posting it the day of and nobody has even heard of it.
Right. And you're certainly optimizing for the algorithm, right? You know, by building that up. And so, you know, when you launch that you're going to get 20, 25 comments or whatever that takes, and that's going to, you know, amplify it by 10X versus if two people commented on it or whatever, just because of the way that the Instagram algorithms are set up.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's maybe dig a little deeper on like the social media marketing side. So it sounds like you got your start in working for a real estate agent doing social media marketing, but you took a very creative approach of like, hey, let's just not post homes of like house for sale, house for sale, house for sale, but let's, you know, engage with the community. If you were to consult, and maybe this is something that you do in Draghi Media, but if you were to consult with people on social media, local businesses, what would you say are the things that tend to play really well for a business account?
Like how they gain exposure.
Yeah. And like what types of content, like just maybe a social media marketing 101, someone came to you and said, hey, I run a whatever, I'm a realtor, I run a plumbing shop, whatever the business. How do we really get good engagement on social media? What are maybe the couple things you would point them toward?
Yeah, I always talk to people about collaborations. So I think you can only get so far running a business and only talking about your business and doing it like all for yourself, pretty much. I think the biggest thing in growth is when you collaborate with people and highlight different people and bring people on. So I would say collaboration is huge, and getting in the community, however that looks for you. I know so many, like there's one, the chiropractor I go to, Impact Chiropractic, they highlight so many businesses that have nothing to do with chiropractors. They highlight sandwich shops, they highlight clothing shops, and they're good friends with the owners, and they really just highlight each other. And people in those spheres like know all of those businesses because they all highlight each other. And so I really think collaboration is maybe the number one thing, rather than just going about your business, like only posting about your business.
Right. Kind of tap into other people's audiences and their networks as well.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So then for your company, you have a unique approach in that you have both an audience, right, with your Life and NoCo account, and a media production company where you're actually producing creative content, videos, things like that. Thoughts on that? Because that's fairly new, right? A lot of companies are like, oh, we'll make you the best video you've ever seen. And then there's, you know, the promotion and media companies who are like, yeah, you know, we'll promote it, we'll buy ads, we'll do whatever. What are your thoughts on, and do you see this as an industry trend about the merging of the audience and the creative sort of into one, I guess, one package? Any thoughts?
Like my Life and NoCo audience with the media?
Yeah. Like, I guess when you approach a client, right, if I'm understanding correctly, you have, it's like, hey, I'll make you the video. So you'll have the creative and the asset, but we'll also then promote it to our audience. Yeah. Is that something you see that more and more companies and people will start doing? Because to me, that's fairly unique in that most of the time we think about a video production company, it's like, yeah, we'll make you the video, we'll give it to you on a thumb drive, and that's the end.
Yeah. I think it is really unique. And I mean, having a platform that also highlights the work that I'm doing is huge, I think, for people. So I do think that people will still get video and media, but I do think it's huge to have a platform that also highlights them. Whether that, like, I mean, my Draghi, I also have a Draghi Media Instagram with a lot less followers, but I'm still posting about the businesses and different stuff. So you don't have to have like a complete separate Instagram. I think just having a page where you are putting your work and you're tagging people and using hashtags so that people are able to see your media and the businesses you're working with. I definitely think that is a big deal for businesses.
For sure. Thoughts on hashtags, right? We're in November 2020. On Instagram, do they still work? Are they still important? Do you find that you gain a lot of followers and engagement when you use them? Or is it something a bit of a fad that has happened and maybe now the peak of it has passed? What are your thoughts on actually using hashtags and posts?
Yeah, I do use them on mostly every single post. So I still do think that they work. I think I do gain people and attention from especially hashtagging like local things. So if I'm I all the time look in the Fort Collins hashtag. So I still think that a lot of people, people will say all the time, I'll get messages of that they found me because they were searching a hashtag, like searching Fort Collins or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I do think that people still find things. Potentially it's more local than it is like the huge hashtag that has millions and millions of pictures in it. I'm not sure how well that's going to do rather than like a Fort Collins or Loveland hashtag that has a lot less where people can actually see daily things that are posted.
Right. You're not posting, you know, hashtag blessed or whatever with like 3 million, you know, 3 million other posts going on.
Yeah.
Instead, you're really focusing on the niche, right? In this case, it's a geographic niche of, mm-hmm. you know, Fort Collins, Loveland, Northern Colorado.
Yeah.
Cool. And then in Colorado, we just got done. Hopefully we're done. We'll see with some pretty crazy wildfires. Mm-hmm. We're all over the national news. Some of the largest wildfires ever, actually the largest wildfire ever in Colorado, was like 10 miles away from the Northern Colorado, Fort Collins area. Yeah. And so during that time, you actually became sort of a news source for a lot of folks as well, because you became an aggregator, right? You were finding people whose houses had been, were at risk of burning down, or maybe had lost houses, were at least evacuated. Yeah. And you were sort of reposting their stories or their posts, giving almost play-by-play updates. Thoughts on that? Like, how did you approach that? Did it just sort of happen? Like feedback from the community as far as like those types of posts? How did that play out?
Yeah, I just really kind of go about everything that I do with Life in NoCo page, just thinking about what I would want to see. So with these huge wildfires happening and like them actually getting close to us, honestly, like the Coloradoan wasn't posting enough updates, I didn't think. Like I wasn't getting like a play-by-play, like figuring out where it was and who's impacted and all these different things. I just didn't feel like it was like fast enough. And most of my followers on Life in NoCo, I have over 8,000, live in Northern Colorado. And so I feel like we kind of have a better gist of what is happening in Northern Colorado than sometimes even the news does, because the news is a little bit late, rather than someone posting or someone like sharing with me. Like, okay, so what I would do in an Instagram story is I would say, share what it looks like in Northern Colorado to you today with the Cameron Peak fire. And I would get tons and tons of pictures and messages. And so I'm inviting people to tell me, what does it look like where you are? And tell me what's going on in your space. And then I'm sharing it. And I think people just love that. I think people love that where they are and where they live is being shared to an audience of thousands of people. Like, it's like they can like reach it and touch it. It's not like a news source where maybe they would see your picture in 2 months, you know? It's very like, I'm very responsive and people are seeing what's happening in Northern Colorado because a bunch of people are engaging in it. And yeah, so that was awesome. I mean, not awesome about the fire, but really people were so thankful that they kind of had an up-to-date news source of what was going on. And I just kind of had a couple different news sources where I would pick from and post about and just be on top of like just updating people on what was going on, and people were really appreciative of it.
Yeah, because the official news sources, right? So you have the Coloradoan, which is our local newspaper out here. And then, of course, you have the government agencies, the county, and they were helpful for sure. But, you know, they are reporting official information, right, from an aircraft that flies over once a day, mm-hmm. right? And we had days where the fire would do a 17-mile run in a 24-hour period, which is crazy to think about, you know, especially when the fire was only, you know, 10 miles from town. Like 17 miles is a long way. And I really engaged with you then in Life in NoCo because you were aggregating what people were sharing. And it's like, oh, I live in Masonville, which is another small town up in the mountains, or I live in Estes Park, or I live in any of these towns. People were sharing, and then you were able to repost it. And so you could get a much better play-by-play from the news, right, that you were doing versus mm-hmm. what I guess the official sources, you know, would update every 8, 10, 12, 24 hours.
Yeah, totally. And not like they aren't good or helpful. I just think like the quickness of it was something that people appreciated and that they could reach me and totally. Really, I mean, know that I see what they're posting and I'm sharing it and people are seeing it. Like there was a guy in Masonville who that the fire got within, I think, 10 feet of his house. Like he was evacuated. You probably saw me post about him, but mm-hmm. he was like posting, I mean, every hour about his, what was going on at his house, where the fire was. You could see the fire and people were like really, I mean, really engaged with what was going on with his house. And I mean, like, it just really erupted. And I really gave a lot of that to him. I think other people found him other ways, but I was showing like thousands of people. And he also owns a small business. So I talked about how people can support his small business in it. And it was just a really cool way to rally around him when probably not a lot of people would have seen it without my page.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. And I certainly would not have seen that, you know, and ended up following him and getting in updates and we're grateful for him for, you know, updating. And the end of the story, at least as of today, with fires have died down quite a bit, and his house was left unmolested by the fire. So that's really, really, really good.
Yeah, it was awesome. And everyone was just like cheering for him. And if his house was burnt, I think there would have been just people rallying around to help him and support him. And so many people were messaging me, like asking how to support, which was a little bit overwhelming because I was trying to find people to connect with to help support people. And they're really, it was like there was a couple like big corporations like Red Cross and things, but there wasn't a lot of like really direct companies to work with, which was like a little bit challenging. So that was just kind of hard, how many people wanted to support and how I couldn't find a whole lot of people to connect them with.
Yeah. What is that, just because they don't exist, or they're like, what are, cause I was curious about this as well as a citizen, right? It's like, oh, there's all these people, but a lot of it is the big Red Cross entities, things like that. There weren't a lot of local responses. Is that just, again, totally opinion. I just want your thoughts on it, particular to like Northern Colorado. Are those companies out there, you know, organizations, we just don't see them. What do you think about that?
I honestly just think it's hard to find them. Like, because I found through someone's Instagram an article that either the Coloradoan had posted or someone else about all these different places that you could donate to. But I would not have come across that had someone on Instagram like not shared it. So I honestly just feel like because it's hard to find things, like what I love about my page so much is I'm really trying to make it easy for people to connect to things and not have to go through a huge blog to find what they're looking for, kind of what we've talked about. So honestly, I just felt like it was really hard to find places. Like you really had to dig to figure out what to do and how to donate and different things like that.
For sure. For sure. And one other thing, circling back to the news source, the other thing I really liked that you did was you were platform native, meaning like you weren't taking people off of Instagram, you know, to visit our website again, where you're hit with all kinds of ads and different things like that. It was, you know, you could see in real time reposts of people's stories. You never had to leave the app or the platform.
Yeah.
So kind of next question I have. So if somebody is in a different city, right? And they're like, wow, this is really cool. Like I'd love to become sort of a local influencer. I'd like to do what Emily's doing. Guidance, tips, how would you suggest they sort of get started?
I think it really just boils down to serving people and like treating others the way you want to be treated. I feel like I've just kind of lived by that. And I've always been like taken care of. Like I always feel like when I'm giving to these small businesses, like they really feel so loved and cared for that I'm just cared for back. And so I really just think, how can you serve people really well and go out of your way to highlight people and showcase them and, yeah, just being really authentic and genuine and meeting people. But I think just serving is really huge. Like how can you serve your community or the people that you or is your audience, you know?
Awesome. And then for businesses, because a lot of our audience is also nonprofits and businesses here in the Northern Colorado area. So if they want to work with you, they say, hey, this is really cool. I think Emily's audience would be exactly the people that we need to reach. How do they get a hold of you? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah. So on Instagram is probably one of the best ways. I also have a website, Draghi Media, that people can reach me, but probably.
Can you spell that so that if somebody's Googling it?
Yeah. Draghi Media, MEDIA.org. But I think a huge reason that like businesses should work with me is that you have like an authentic person showing your business and trying your food and telling people about it. And so it's a really cool way, I think, to go about like marketing your business, because I always tell people, like, if businesses reach out to me, like asking how to grow their business, I tell them to partner with influencers, like pay them to show your product or service and pay like a real person to try whatever your business is. Because when people see a real person, even if it's paid, it still feels better than getting an ad on Google. Like I would 100 times more go with a real human being showing me what restaurant they love than a blog showing me what restaurant they love. So that's right. What I think, people like getting highlighted on Life in NoCo and should like even more.
Totally. And because people who follow you have a relationship with you, at least they trust you, right? They trust your recommendation. And also, you know, when you look at a follower count, for me, like it's easy to say, well, okay, you know, I could pay and spend X amount of money and reach this many people, but your followers are people who are engaged, right? They are liking, subscribing, commenting, they're engaging with you. They are also people who have sort of already raised their hand and said, hey, like we care about the local community. We care about promoting local businesses. So they, if you're in, you know, certain if your business is targeting local people who like arts, culture, food, whatever, it's exactly the right audience, you know, versus some, you know, a lot of Instagram accounts that, you know, we sort of audit with clients, you know, half their followers are from another country that would never even buy their product or service. And so it's not just about follower accounts, but you really have to compare like engagement and really apples to apples. And I think what you've created with the Life and NoCo account is really awesome. And as someone who follows it just for my own personal benefit, I think it's super cool. So thank you for all your hard work there.
Yeah, I love it. It's so fun for me. And just that people love it and like will see me in public and I get to be friends with them. That's like what I love most about it is I want like genuine community. Like that's another huge thing is I want to build community of people who love Northern Colorado and love each other and serve each other. So it is, I really feel just super blessed and grateful to just to be able to run it. And yeah.
Awesome. Cool. So then what are the best handles? You gave your website, but the best handle to get a hold of you or if someone wants to follow the Life in NoCo. I want to make sure it is Life in NoCo, right? Like,
yep. Yep. It's at Life in NoCo.
So. On Instagram. Check it out. Anything I should have asked you that I didn't? Anything else you want to share with our audience?
I don't think so. Yeah. I love awesome. Northern Colorado. It was great to talk to you about it.
Likewise. Emily, thank you so much for coming on. And I will talk to you very soon.
Yeah. Thanks.